Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Philippians 1:27 from the Amplified. Are you ready? Let's go. Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind striving. Come on, say that again. Striving as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. Man, I'm so pumped. Today, man, I didn't know I was going to be this pumped. I needed to be calm for this message. Because the way I need to deliver it, I need to calm down. If I'm too high, you might miss what I have to say. But I'm just so excited about the God that we serve. I'm so excited about everything that He does. I know we are going through some tough times. I know it looks like, man, the world is coming to an end. It looks like we have nothing, no answer, nothing to give to the world, nothing to offer them that can give them hope in such a time as this. When you look at the news, it's very depressing. Have some of you just been, you know me, I'm those guys who would go deep diving. I'm the one who needs to know how everything is going, what's happening all over the world. I'm the guy who gives everyone the details. I'm that guy. If you want to know what's going on, just ask me. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. This morning, I already knew what happened in TZ, how it rained from 6 to 3 in the morning, how the electrical lines, I'm reading on everything. I like knowing what's happening. But if you stay there for too long, you can start feeling like, hey, is there hope? Is there any hope? Let me tell you one thing that I've noticed, that I've grasped on, is the need for people. It's the need for people. We can have great governments, great institutions, but guess who they depend on? People. You can have great machineries. You can have even helicopters, but who are they depending on? People. People who will be there for them. The stories that I was hearing this week of how neighbors were coming through for other neighbors. How people were stepping up, risking their own lives to save someone else. How they held on children that are not their own so they can just survive the floods. We need each other. We need each other. We need to be standing side by side. I saw in one of these areas where the flood was so much that the children couldn't cross over. So these men and women got in, I mean, though at least where the water was all the way to their neck. And they would put a rope and they would lift the children up. And you could tell the children were really enjoying themselves. I'm telling you, they were really enjoying themselves. It was like, woohoo, fun times. And the people down here like, wait, move, just move. But side by side, they would help these children move from one place to the other just for safety. We need each other. Is there ever a time that we need each other? Is now. That's why I love this scripture that says we have to strive standing side by side. And isn't it even more true today on Mission Sunday? What a privilege it is for us to gather here together. It's in days like today that we are not only reminded of our mission, but the outcome of that mission. Without it, none of us would be seated here. Without the outcome of that mission, you and I would not be sitting here to shout the name of Jesus. I have many times told you how I came to this church. And let me tell you, it's as a result of these relationships that have made who I am today. And I'm just so excited to be part and parcel of these side-by-side relationships that we have. Who's on the Lord's side? I love that. I didn't even think about it when I say, let's sing that song. I wasn't even thinking about that with the message. Just now, they're like, yeah, who's on the Lord's side? But who is side by side with you? It's a good question to ask yourself today. We were not meant to do this alone, church. Everything God has made is interdependent in some way on something else. The sun, the moon, water, air, plants, birds, fish, and animals. The whole universe holds together, operates, and flourishes by the interrelating systems. Everything has to go along with something. Nothing is able to last long if it's left on its own. Everything and everyone requires something other than itself to survive. I need to tell you, church, that relationships are the center of God's plan. They are the center of God's plan. God himself is expressed in three distinctions: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We see displayed throughout the scripture, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The Bible says, and then the Spirit was hovering. Then God spoke. That was the word, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was being baptized, we see Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Then who speaks? The Father. So in actual fact, God also is a relationship. And since relationship is the essence of God's nature, it should not be surprising that the interrelating and the interdependence is the central theme of all creation. God not only wanted us to have a life-giving relationship with him, not only that, he wanted us to enjoy life-giving relationships with each other as well. So we're beginning a new series this month, and we are so excited to start this series. And the title of this series is Breakthroughs Side by Side. So for the next few weeks, we shall be focusing on key relationships in life and some general values that we can all grow in. I just wanted to say that relationships, again, are key for us to see breakthroughs happening. They are key. So remember, the blessing is what? It's in the cluster. It's something that NLC was shared with years ago, that the blessing is in the cluster. So don't think that because certain relationships we may touch on don't concern you right now, or it isn't the season you're in, and that there's nothing you can learn. I just want to tell you, every value shared will be able to help you in whatever relationship you're in. It'll help you in whatever relationship. It could be a season you're entering into or not. But it could also enable you to help someone in that season. Because so many times, you know, we listen just for ourselves. But we also need to learn to listen also for others. Because someone might be going through something and you have the answer to what they're going through. So this statement we've just read from our key verse, striving side by side, it means to fight or work on the side of anyone, to cooperate vigorously with a person, to make effort in the cause of, in support of a thing. Make effort. I remember years ago hearing this story from Papa Stan. If you guys don't know who Papa Stan is, Papa Stan used to be one of our presbyters, but now has gone to be with the Lord. It's him and Mama Stan started the King's Kids Village. And now John Stan took over. Now Lydia and Trey took over. Wonderful people. I wish you guys got to meet him. He was the loveliest man on the face of this planet. He had just stories for days. And I had this story. They used to be in Nigeria for some time. And he got stuck in the streets of Nigeria and couldn't speak the language. And he needed help. And he fell into a ditch, just like how many people now have been falling into ditches, thinking it's roads. Have you seen those cars? You see a guy going and you're like, where are you going? So he was there and he didn't know how to communicate with these people. So all he knew was hallelujah. So he looked at the people and said, hallelujah. And they knew hallelujah because hallelujah is the same everywhere. It's the same name. It's the same language everywhere. So he said, hallelujah. And they looked at him and said, hallelujah. And he held the car and said, hallelujah. And they said, hallelujah. They held the car. And then he said, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And that's how they got the car out and went, hallelujah, hallelujah. People who are there to support, to fight, to cooperate with you. This striving side by side is beyond just fellowshipping. It's just beyond fellowshipping, and that's great. But it's combative. That's why the version we read said, as in combat. That's its nature. Paul is speaking of the believers. They are fighting alongside him, assisting him in the work he's doing to extend the gospel. This mission we are in of life, we need each other. Not just hanging out, but working together to break through to all that God has for us. You need to see the value for each other. As I'm telling you, our breakthroughs are side by side. That's why we need to be striving through it side by side. Pastor Geoffrey, who's now going to be with the Lord, his kids are here. I remember him telling me this story of when they would do long drills and matches at night. They would make straight lines, shoulder to shoulder. And they would march. And the reason they would do that is to give each other strength. Because they were marching for long distances. so that if you needed to sleep, you can still sleep and march. Because the brothers are so close to you that they are keeping you, your feet marching, and you're dozing off. Then you'd wake up, then the next guy would go to sleep. And they would keep moving like that for hours, and that enabled them to go farther and faster without having to stop. There was strength in being side by side, not just going by themselves, so that they could help each other in what they were meant to be doing. You know, when the sanctuary flooded, as I said last week, we came here, and let me tell you, we were overwhelmed. It was overwhelming to see the work that was before us. It seemed like an impossible task to get this place ready for that Sunday. And like the flood in here, life can get muddy and messy. And sometimes it's very overwhelming. But can I tell you that God hasn't asked you to clean the sanctuary by yourself? God hasn't called you to do this on your own. Who is on your line when you are doing this work? And I'll explain why. So this is us. Everyone trying to do their own thing. But look, you see that line? You see those people pushing? That's what needed to happen. That's what needed to happen for that water to come out. And let me explain. So we got this brilliant idea as men. We needed a woman in this mix. You know how men can get. Trey came with a generator to pump water from the river, and we hose this place so that we can move that mud. But it was overwhelming water. Man, say this place flooded. Now, in fact, my wife came out and she was like, I thought the floods were, so we needed water. So see, I thought the floods were out. No, we brought more. And it was dirty water. It's not clean. It's the river water that has been forever. So we are here looking at ourselves like we've added so much work to ourselves. I'm telling you, it took us 2 hours to remove that water out of this place. You know, you're starting. Have you ever started and you think you're making progress? Then you see the water going around and coming right behind you. And Pastor John was here and tell you. So finally, I think it's a lady who spoke up. And all of us were told, let's get into a straight line. All of us get into a straight line. And together, with the same beat, push. And all you had was push, and you pushed, push, and you pushed, pushed until you went to the end. And that's how we got that water out of this place. Who's on your lineup? You know, storms reveal the truth. And when they hit, and I'm telling you, they will hit, they reveal how you're building. If you're building well or not, they reveal who is standing side by side with you. And what will happen when you need that help? We're not meant to be doing this alone, people. Paul recognized this. And we know he had many standing side by side. Philippians 4:3 tells us, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. You read verse 2, you know who the women were. Who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So there are two things I see from this. Number one, and this is important for you to grasp as a value when it comes to building side by side. Make the connection. Make the connection. I'm constantly grateful that I'm not doing life by myself. I'm constantly grateful for the connection I have with God. I don't know how people can do life without God. I just don't know. You know how Pastor Delson was saying they need to know? They really need to know. How I will let them know. That's why you have to come out of this place and let them know you cannot do life without God. You need to make that connection. If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, make it. Even as I'm speaking, say, God, I'm making a connection with you right now. My wife, oh dear Lord, I can't do life with that woman. I don't even know how I survived. Pastor, the Lord had mercy. You know that. Pastor, more than anyone knows that. He knows that. He's walked with me a long time. My family, those that we serve with our staff, I texted them the other day and just texted my group and just told them, I'm telling you, you are the best people in the whole world. I don't know how we do this without you guys. Ask HXP if they could have pulled off that event without the people that they are connected to. I'm grateful for my cell guys, my men, my wife's ladies. We are grateful for them, for our ministry teams. We are grateful. I'm grateful for you. I hope when things go wrong, my end, when I call you, you answer. I'm grateful for you. We are in this together. For my friends, for my neighbors. I'm grateful for the relationships all around me. But let me tell you, that can't happen if I don't make a connection. And more than just make a connection, I need to be connected as well. Because it's one thing to make a connection and allow yourself to be connected. You need to be connected. When I joined this house, I made a decision. I made a decision. This is where I'm going to be. This is where, since 1997, end of 1997, up to now, this is where I'm going to be. I made the decision. But I also decided to allow the leadership of this house to help me be connected. But I had to be interested. I had to be. If you're not interested in people, you're in trouble, my friend. You have to be interested to connect. Husband, you have to be interested in your wife to make a connection. Of late, you're wondering what's going on. Can I tell you, get interested again? And can I help you out to get interested again? Get interested in what they're interested in. Parents and children, you think your kids are going nuts? Get interested. Get interested. Children, get interested in your parents. I'm in a meeting last night with my family. One of my cousins pipes out and says, you know, these people are growing old. You know, my parents are in that age group. I don't want to say old, please. So sorry. So sorry. Seasoned. They are seasoned. You know, Pastor and my dad are age mates, so they are seasoned. Seasoned. And you're saying, you know how they need to retire and go to shags. And I piped up, man, because I knew the message I was preaching. I was like, no, I want my dad next to me. I want to come every day and see his face. I want to hold his hands. I want to walk with him. Because our time is getting smaller and smaller. I want to kiss him on his cheek. And I want to remind him every day without fail, I love you, man. I love you and I appreciate you. Children, get interested again. Make the connection. Neighbors, make a connection. We are so stingy with ourselves. Hey, let's be honest. Some of us, the most with our neighbors we do is, you have no clue who this guy is. What he does. Me, I know of a guy who stayed in a neighborhood. They were shocked to hear he's the most wanted guy in Nairobi. This guy was the neighbor upstairs. Then later he's telling me, you know, I used to hear goo, goo, goo. Tonight and I'm wondering, what is this guy doing? You never found out. Make a connection. Don't just sit there. Do you know that word, true companion? When Paul says, talks to that person, says, hey, you, my true companion, help these ladies get together. It means yoke fellows. To be a yoke fellow with someone, you definitely have to be interested in making a commitment with that person. Because being yoked is not easy. It can be uncomfortable. Sometimes, especially when we don't agree, the yoke confines you to the connection you have made. When you are yoked to someone, it's hard for you to separate yourself from them easily or quickly. That's why it's very important for you to be yoked to the right person. The Bible says, and ones do not be unequally yoked. We only use it in marriage. No, it means all relationships. But can I also say, depending on who you are yoked to, wife, great friend, business partner, it can make life really pleasant. Make work really easy. Push you farther than you could ever go on your own. I'm telling you, it can do that. Alan Sucre. That's Rebecca's husband. Now, I know she loves this man dearly, but I love him also dearly. Because me and Rebecca are twins. So we both of us are invested in the brother. But let me tell you, when he came into our lives, let me tell you what this brother did for us. For years, our lives, I'm saying, we are being honest. You know, Esther and Alan came into our lives to help us. For years, we were the band for the church. But there was a level we reached, and we had to be honest, we just couldn't go further than that. But here comes this professional. You guys don't know how pro he is. He's the real deal. Songs we would say no to because we just knew. You know, have you ever had a song and you had the original plus what's being played and you're like, something's missing. We can't go there. But this brother elevated us faster than we could ever elevate ourselves. Taught us things we didn't know what to do. Made us way much better than we ever thought we could be. You guys don't even notice this. Every time we're singing, we look at him because we forget certain chords. And we're like, wait, what's the next chord? And he just does this. And we know exactly what he means. Stop laughing at us. We're not growing older. It's we have a lot on our mind. We are leading the entire church. We are thinking about the anointing. We are seeing Jesus come down into his house. We are watching as he moves. You can't keep us, you can't expect us to know all the words. There's a lot going on in our minds, Rebecca. Yeah? Yes. So this brother helped us. But even Jesus himself told us, take your yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Make the effort. Make the effort. You will begin to see breakthrough in your life. Fight with someone. Not fight with. Fight alongside. Be vigorous with them. Help them out. And allow them to help you out. That's what God has called us to be. Secondly and lastly, make an effort. First, men, make the connection. Second, make an effort. Make an effort. And this is why. This is why when Paul was speaking to this true companion of his, he told him, help these women. He wasn't just content to see them fight and disagree and go their separate ways. He said, help them. And this is why he told them to help them. It's because we always turn to those we count on the most in the times of great need. Great need. We always turn to those who we count on when we're in great need. These women who came alongside Paul made such an effort to help him, to walk with him, to strengthen him, to struggle with him. So he wasn't willing to let go of them. He said, do everything to make sure they agree. I want to remind us today on Mission Sunday that God has given us this house a mission and a vision. We need all hands on deck. It's not just about us here fellowshipping and having a wonderful time. There is work to be done. There are things to contend with. There are things to press through. Paul knew that if the believers were of one mind and ready to help each other, just as he had found the benefit of these laborers. These laborers. That's what laborers means. Those who strive with me. It means those who are contending with me. He knew how comfortable it would be for his fellow laborers to have the same help. We need each other. We need help along this life. We need this relationship. Can we make the effort, church? Can we make the effort? I heard of a cell this week. Their person was going through, serious issues. Daughter is in hospital. House is flooded. Things have been taken. Bills are mounting up. They made the effort. Held this man's hands up. Took care of that bill. Took care of his house. Got him to higher ground. Make the effort. Make the effort. Make the effort. Let's make the effort for each other. My prayer for us as the body of Christ is that we strive to labor together side by side. In whatever relationship you're in, may you have laborers alongside you. Even God the Father said, pray. Pray to me. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So this is how I end. This is how the world will know that you are mine. How we love one another. So how we live our relationships is the reflection and the witness that we belong to Jesus. Think about it. It's relationships that prove we are His. Not prayer. Not just worship. Not jumping in praise. It's how we deal with one another. Our marriages, our children, our parents, our friendships, our classmates. These are what we are talking about in this next few weeks. So let me just tell you, we're going to be talking about and giving you some values, how we can break through side by side. It's not going to be so detailed. It's not going to be so trainee heavy, because you might be here expecting, okay, tell us everything. No. It's going to be some helpful nuggets. Helpful nuggets that will help everyone, no matter what season of life you're in. No matter what relationship you're in, it's going to help you make that breakthrough. Father, we want to thank you for the family of God. I want to thank you for relationships. It being the center of your plan for mankind. You looked down on Adam and you said, it is not good for man to be alone. We were never meant to do this alone. So today I pray, if there's someone here who's feeling left alone, may they make the connection. May they hear what I'm talking about and be interested in making a connection today. And allow themselves to be connected. May they see the relationships all around them as great opportunities that can build them up. Truly, the blessing is in the cluster. I pray that we are making effort, especially as the people of God. Even in this hour, even in this time, help us to make the effort to connect, to strive alongside, to fight alongside, to push, to make that phone call, to reach out, to help. Help us to make that effort. Let us be people who are making effort. Because how else will they know that we belong to you? Help us as a church today to bring hope to a world that is in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a wonderful, blessed week. See you next Sunday, God willing.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.